friends to his followers. And we find in, or I do anyway, such a great explanation for what happened to this group when he said, receive the Holy Spirit, in the explanation of Luther's explanation of the third article of our Apostles' Creed. And listen to this and see if you can make any sense out of what I'm trying to say. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Oh, what a great explanation for what happened, and what a gift Jesus gave. Because when Jesus gave his followers the gift of the Holy Spirit, he gave them the power to have faith. He gave them the ability to exercise that muscle, that faith muscle, so that they would be able to do what he said, to go out and tell others about him. You know, what is faith? One of the TV preachers I kind of like to watch late at night says, faith is confidence in God. But it's not something that I can do by, oh, I want to believe more. Oh. We can't do it by our own struggle. We have to be filled with that Holy Spirit. We have to have that pouring into our lives. Now, we get a measure of that initially at our baptism. But we as human beings, we're a kind of a three-part being. Our bodies, our physical beings, our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, and our spirits, which is the eternal part of us that was made for communication with God, and that we have an infinite need for the Holy Spirit, for God to pour into our spirit all of the resources that he can give us. So that while we were given salvation at baptism, what we need for life, for handling grief, for loss, and for remaining humble when things are good, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to be poured into us every day and in every way that we can accept. One of the other things that happened when Jesus told his followers, and I don't know how many were there, 10 or more, was he through the power of the Holy Spirit, he formed his first church. And you can tell that by what he told them. He said, go out and tell others about me. You can forgive sins. You know, these guys were scared. They weren't educated. They weren't wealthy. But he gave them, through the Holy Spirit, the power to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to speak in other languages. He gave them that power. You know, our readings from Psalm and Acts tell us what a church should look like. And in the way that Jesus treated Thomas, that's what our churches should probably look like. Jesus met Thomas where he was. He didn't berate him. He didn't make fun of him. But he came and showed him his hands and feet. And that's the same offer he's bringing to us here today. He's coming and he says, I want you. Come to me. I will fill you with faith. I will make you a church. there's an expression about churches that I kind of get a kick out of. It says, I found a perfect church and then I joined it. And you know what? Only Jesus can perfect our church, our congregation, our life as a community of believers. You know, there's a lot of things, and I've told you from this pulpit before, I just love this church. I love this congregation. I like the faith expressed between people, between believers, that happens when we get together. I love that we see miracles. I love that when we pray, we believe that we are tapping into supernatural power that God has freely offered to pour out through us. And by getting together, by being a community, by sharing our faith together, we build up each other's faith, not only as a group, but as individuals too. And we can bring doubt, our own personal doubts, we can bring those out in the open, and others will help us deal with them and build each other up. We can share our burdens, we can share our grief. Jesus promised to be wherever two or more gathered in his name. Now, our doors here aren't locked, but they haven't opened since the last of us came in. But we know by this promise that Jesus is here. And so I thought about that. You know, I can't rationalize how Jesus got into the locked room where the disciples were that night, but I know how he got in here. Jesus came in here today in each and every one of us because he's already living in us, and we each bring our own little piece, our own little part of Jesus here when we gather together. And that just makes it that much more meaningful and powerful. And that's the good news. That's the faith piece that we learn from Thomas today, is that Jesus loves us and he lives in us. Jesus lives in you. Jesus lives in me. Jesus lives. Let's join Thomas. Not doubting Thomas, but faith-filled Thomas. My Lord and my God. Amen.